from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to the Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Summer at the Palladium now through August.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll get a preview of the upcoming 87th annual Hoosier Salon Exhibition.
I'll find out about how the town of Cumberland celebrates the arts.
And I'll chat with Rita Kahn about her play, which will be performed at the State Fair. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Featuring over 100 artists with Indiana roots, the Hoosier Salon 87th Annual Exhibition opens August 13th and will run through October 15th at the Indiana State Museum. Travis DiNicola spoke with Donna Dole, Executive Director of Hoosier Salon, about the show.
87th year.
Yes.
Wow. For this exhibition. Congratulations.
It's very exciting.
That is so cool.
It is.
It's just such an amazing number. I of course want to talk about the annual exhibition that's going to be at the Indiana State Museum in just a few minutes, but let's start off with just a little bit of background on what Hoosier Salon is, because it has such an amazing, rich history to it.
It does. It does, Travis. The Hoosier Salon was organized 87 years ago by a group called the Daughters of Indiana, and mm-hmm. it's my understanding that they were Earlham College graduates and sisters, wives, daughters of fairly wealthy Chicago businessmen, and really felt that Indiana artists, especially the Brown County artists, were mm-hmm. not getting their recognition nationwide that they thought they should.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So they organized
artists like T.C. Steele and William Forsythe, and
Otis, mm-hmm. you know, J. Otis Adams. And so they organized the first exhibit that was held at Marshall Field's Galleries in mm-hmm. Chicago. And the exhibit stayed there for, I think it was like 10, 12 years. And there were also several sorority groups like Tri Kappa mm-hmm. National, Psi Iota Xi Sorority, and the Woman's Department Club, which has been very active in the Indianapolis area for a long time. And they worked with Daughters of Indiana, and in the late 30s started talking to the William H. Block Company and some other people, and actually Mr. Block himself agreed to have the exhibit brought to Indianapolis just for their galleries. And by 1941, the official office, the Hoosier Salon Patrons mm-hmm. Association office, moved to Indianapolis, and the first gallery was established. We were in galleries at the State Life Building and the old Hilton Hotel that was on mm-hmm. the circle, and a number of locations in the downtown area.
Sounds almost a little unusual now. You mentioned, you know, being at the Marshall Fields Gallery mm-hmm. in Chicago, or Block Building, or at the Hilton. But in fact, at that time in history, so much of the artwork that was shown in the United States was shown through department stores
exactly.
and hotels.
Exactly.
I mean, that was often the precursor to, before many cities had big museums
exactly.
or even regular galleries,
right.
That was sort of the common space that people would go to see new art,
right.
which is such kind of a great idea,
it
I
is.
Think.
It is. It's fabulous.
Wish we had more
and
of
it
that
still
now.
Is.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and I know that there's a lot of corporations around that mm-hmm. are working with local artists, which is really
yes.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we established a permanent office in mm-hmm. Indianapolis. And this year, 20 years ago, the exhibit moved to the Indiana State Museum at the old location at Ohio and Alabama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then when the new museum opened, through the generosity of a donor, we were able to move into the Ford Gallery at the State Museum, and that's where we've been for the last 20 years.
That's great.
Well, we've been at, you know, for 10 years. Mm-hmm. This is the 10th
anniversary. Yeah, since the new State Museum opened. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's such a great space up there on sort of the top floor of the galleries, looking out over the canal, beautiful windows, great light.
Right.
You know, it's a big room. It's a really tremendous space to exhibit artwork,
I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the State Museum has been very accommodating, and we're really pleased with that relationship. This year, I mean, our shows have been as large as over 200 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
This year, our show is much smaller. We have a total of 137 pieces, and 12 of those are sculpture. So the museum staff really likes it when it's a smaller exhibit because it can still be hung salon style, but not so crowded.
Okay. Yeah. And is that the reasoning behind having fewer pieces this year?
Had some interesting judges this year.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And they were, really took their job very, very seriously, which they should have. And they just, felt that the quality, overall quality, may not have been as good as it's been in years past, but the pieces that are in are top-notch.
Okay. And so fewer pieces, but it's quite a mix, though, still, of mediums. You mentioned sculpture, but there's also, of course, oils, pastels, watercolors. Subject matter, it's not just landscapes.
Oh, no. We have, that's the... I don't know. I think the great mystery, because we are so steeped in history. People still look at the Hoosier Salon as a very traditional oil, landscape, Brown County artist organization. But we have branched out. We have ceramicists. We have glass blowers. We have mixed media. One artist that got into the exhibit this year actually did some recycling, used the plastic trash bags, and I know it's going to sound crazy, but it's a very nice contemporary piece that hangs on the wall, but it looks three-dimensional. Very nice, very nice. We have wood, we have metal.
So really quite a wide variety.
Exactly.
And again,
exactly.
I mean, even though, you know, you can certainly expect some of those beautiful landscapes, and nothing wrong with that at all,
but
quite a wide variety in many contemporary works, even some abstract.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And we've gotten more into that. And I've been encouraging it, because our mission statement says that we are to create an appreciation for visual art by promoting Indiana artists. And Indiana art is much more than the traditional oil landscape. And there are organizations in the state that promote strictly that. I really, as the executive director, hope to embrace all genres of art and work with new artists, because a lot of our artists have been around for a long time. And so I'm recruiting new artists. This year alone, we had 16 brand new artists that have never been involved were accepted into the exhibit. So
share with us some of the names of some of the artists, if you can.
Well, I'll give you some of the perennials. C.W. Monday, Bob Eberly, Marianne Davis, Corinne Hall, just a few of the ones that have been around for a while. But some of our new ones would be Benjamin Johnson, a younger than 30-year-old glass blower, most beautiful pieces you've ever seen.
Yes.
Our youngest artist is 19 years old, a young lady by the name of Katie Whipple, and she is awesome, Travis. She is really, if she continues on the way she's painting now, she's going to be one of the new up-and-coming still-life traditional artist. She's incredible in oils. C.W., as I said, is in, and he's...
Of course, very well-known.
Exactly. Judy LaVisca, another one of our new ones, is Wesley Merritt, but I know he's been around a while. He's had a studio down at the Stutz. April Willey from Carmel, Roger Merkel, who does the most wonderful portraits, set in, I think one last year was called The War Bride. Hmm. They're all kind of 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
but he uses local models and is wonderful. Donna Short, wonderful pastelist. Mm-hmm. Pam Newell, who does both pastels and oils. Doug Arnholter, who is a very contemporary abstract artist and is part of the Broad Ripple Art and Design Group.
Yes, okay.
He's in this year. Rob O'Dell, mm-hmm. from the Crawfordsville area. Jerry Smith. I mean, I could go on and on
sure.
and on.
Now, this is, of course, a juried show.
Right.
What does it mean to these artists to be accepted into this?
Well, gratefully, when an artist is accepted into the Hoosier Salon, they feel that it's the pinnacle. Now, I know there's Oil Painters of America and American Impressionists, but for artists in the state of Indiana, once you get into the Hoosier Salon, it really is a milestone, I think, because we bring the judges in. They're nationally mm-hmm. known. The rules say that they cannot be from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the work is judged on composition, on subject matter, on their techniques, you know, just the overall quality,
sure.
including the framing.
Mm-hmm.
Including the framing.
Now, the show itself, is, I mean, and having the State Museum is an awesome opportunity
mm-hmm.
to promote these artists
mm-hmm.
to audiences who are in Indiana.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, you know, going back to sort of the first show of the Hoosier Salon,
uh-huh.
if it was up in Chicago,
uh-huh.
it was to, you know, to reach out to audiences beyond, you know, the borders of our states.
Right.
Is the Hoosier Salon able to do that now?
We've had calls from New York, a couple media outlets in New York that are interested in
mm-hmm.
maybe doing a feature story on a couple of our artists. So, yes, unfortunately, because of the downturn in the economy,
yeah.
you know, our budget had to be cut as far as our PR budget, and that's the worst thing you can do, but we're working on that. You know, I try to be in as many places as possible and talk about the Hoosier Salon. Really am looking at many varied audiences, churches. I'm doing classes at Oasis. So
mm-hmm.
I'm talking the Hoosier Salon up all of the time.
Sure. And of course, we have to promote at home first.
Oh, exactly.
Do you know, are there other, I mean, similar type of organizations or juried shows in other states, though?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I've been actually working on some things for a board retreat and
mm-hmm.
Looking at other organizations that are similar. And across the country, there are a number, not as many as I thought there would be, but a number of organizations like ours
mm-hmm.
that promote artists within their state.
Sure.
We're a membership organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we survive strictly on donations and memberships. The annual exhibition hopefully will be a large fundraiser for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we sell the artwork.
Yes.
But we also pay commissions to the artists.
Yes.
So we only maintain 33% of the sale price.
Okay.
So.
Now, the show itself, the admission is free for museum members, and then regular museum prices apply if you're not a museum member.
Right.
And it will be open August 13th through the 15th. You do have a big opening night or a...
Yes, we
mm-hmm.
do. Last year, we used to have two events.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a preview event on a Wednesday night and then do an awards event for the artist on Sunday. Last year, we combined it. It worked
mm-hmm.
really well. We've tweaked
Get all that excitement in one
yeah,
night.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so all the artists that are juried in are invited free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
And the VIP party is what we call it, an award ceremony, is Wednesday, August the 10th
okay.
from 6:30 to 9:30. Tickets for the general public are $50.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get to rub shoulders with the artist. You'll be able to learn who the best of show is and
mm-hmm.
see all of the artwork with the awards on them.
That'll be great.
Once the gallery opens at 7. And then it does open to the public on August the 13th and runs through October the 16th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we're really excited about this year being our 20th year with the State Museum.
Yeah, congratulations on that as well.
But if people are interested in purchasing tickets for the VIP party, they can get in touch with me at the Hoosier Salon Art Office, mm-hmm. which is 317-253-5340, or you can go to our website, which is www.hoosiersalon.org.
Very good.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I wish you the best with this. It's going to be a fantastic show.
I think so, too.
And such a great way to see such incredible work by so many different talented mm-hmm. Hoosier artists. So congratulations on bringing this together.
Thanks, Travis.
Again.
Travis DiNicola with Donna Dole, Executive Director of Hoosier Salon. The Hoosier Salon 87th Annual Exhibition opens August 13th and will run through October 15th at the Indiana State Museum. For more information, visit HoosierSalon.org, HoosierSalon.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
For the third consecutive year, Cumberland Arts of Cumberland First Baptist Church and the Town of Cumberland will collaborate on a unique art, music, and craft festival on Saturday, August 20th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Planned events include the Cumberland Farmers Market, dozens of artist booths, entertainment, food, activities for children, hands-on arts activities, and much, much more, including green, earth, and community-centered activities. Sharon Gamble invited Cumberland Arts Goes to Market organizer, Thomas Watkins, who's also a violinist, to tell us more about this rapidly growing East Side Festival.
So it worked. I remember talking to you about the first year of
this festival,
and you intended it to be an annual event, and congratulations. What's the hardest thing you learned about going from a one-off event to making something a regular occurrence?
Oh, it's a 12-month-a-year undertaking. That's the deal, Sharon. You really don't have an off month, and if you take an off month, you regret it. It's trying to start early enough to really not only maintain where you are, but grow it.
Yeah. And you've kind of grown exponentially. I was comparing last year's participating mm-hmm. artist list to the first year, and my goodness, this is getting to be something that would be hard to do in a few hours. You're going to need a bigger commitment of time.
There is a big commitment, and we have some marquee players in this who really step up, who have the skills and the wherewithal to pull it off. I do a good bit, but I also love to be a cheerleader for what happens at the heart of the event. Daniel Hurt Hartman, you know, recruits the artisans and craftspeople, the vendors. You know, we've moved from maybe 30 the first year to over 70. The farmers market end, probably 30. So we're over 100 booths, and this doesn't even count some of the ancillary booths and other things going on, turning into a decent-sized festival.
There are a lot of art fairs, but it strikes me that what you're doing to differentiate yourself is it's not just art. It's green practices, it's locally grown produce and other goods, local craftsmanship, and kind of a focus on sustainable living.
Well, that's right. Every year we try to have a couple of special focuses. And last year, I'll tell you, I know we didn't speak last year, but last year we did the Saturn Street Mural Project. And this was an old dilapidated barn, and in conjunction with a lot of great help from the community, from the town, and also in conjunction with IHPC, the Historic Preservation Commission, we engaged a fabulous muralist, Doug Stanley, to put on the side of a dilapidated barn a marvelous kind of picturesque look at Cumberland, Disney palette, right across from Honors Park, where kids play. They used to play and look over at this awful-looking, you know, side of a barn. And now it's just a beautiful place for them to gaze over and actually to come. And there are butterflies painted on kind of low, and flowers you can almost pick off, aww, you know, off of the bottom of the barn.
So your muralist kept in mind that some of the viewers would be children and kept the scale and the range of where some of the art is.
Well, exactly right. And it looks as good today as it did when he finished it. He started it, you know, a couple weeks before the event, painted all day of the event. and then finished it. So it was a live, you know, it was an in-progress kind of live mural.
What a treat. For people who maybe aren't as familiar with Cumberland, they just sort of know it, maybe vaguely know it's east
might
of Indianapolis.
Exist, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why is Cumberland important?
Cumberland is important because it represents some of the best of small town Indiana and America that we risk losing through urban sprawl. Cumberland was, in historic terms, I'd say, in preservation terms, one of the most endangered species a few years ago. Through the new streetscape, mm-hmm. through the Pennsy Trail, which I'd love to talk about, it taps into our kind of special focus this year. Three-mile stretch of the Pennsy, including a wetland panel and just some lovely things. Another feature of that is a scale model solar system.
Really?
One to a billion. Who knew? Right out on the east side of Indianapolis, it starts the sun. There are placards, actually very nice displays for the sun and each planet, beginning at German Church Road behind the Meyer parking lot and spanning a good bit of the trail. So the Pennsy is like a east-west Monon, right?
Okay.
And it'll eventually, hopefully, you know, go from, state line to state line, east to west.
And currently, where is it? Where does it start?
Well, you can find it. Quite a bit east of us. You know, maybe even starting at Richmond. There's quite a bit that's filled in. There's of course a section out around Greenfield. You know, the Pennsy Art Trail is right on the Pennsy. Our festival is just north of the Pennsy, but we're going to incorporate the Pennsy into the festival in two ways, which I'll talk about. But that, the farmer's market, this festival itself, these are ways in which we're bringing back to life, really resurrecting, if you will, a small community with a lot of potential. Many of the nice buildings are gone. So we want to highlight what we have.
Do I remember correctly that a lot of the buildings are gone because of U.S. 40?
Well, that predates me. It's certainly possible. The recent work going on with U.S. 40 has really worked hard to play up what's good in Cumberland and to preserve what we can. But I think that kind of thing happens with major thoroughfares. They do.
I have this sense that Cumberland, some of Cumberland at least, predates a lot of Indianapolis.
We're going back to the 1830s anyway. Our church is about 179 years old. It has that really long history. Started as a Baptist Sunday school because Cumberland was a stagecoach stop, starting at Cumberland, Maryland, and working its way out.
Is that why our Cumberland was named Cumberland?
Yes, Cumberland, Maryland.
Really?
That's right. It's the old National Road.
Huh.
Yeah, and of course the Pennsy Trail was the Pennsylvania Railroad. This is the railroad that carried President Lincoln back to Illinois. So there's good history to recall, and this plays into part of what we're doing. Let me tell you a little bit more. In addition to the arts and crafts booths, a main stage with some entertainers I'd love to talk about.
Yes, please.
Kind of more homegrown and also kind of youth-focused. So we have Stony Brook Strings and Warren Central Choirs are going to participate, you know, right from the east side, sometimes the forgotten east side of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for the third year, Hearts Ablaze Cloggers from Greenfield, a group called Young Hoosier Singers, a dance group from the southeast side, Dance Connection. And then we're bringing in the Smiley Morning Glee Club. You probably know about this group.
Just a tiny bit, but for people who don't, why don't you describe it?
Well, it's based upon the Smiley Morning Show, which is WZPL-FM morning show. Kind of inspired by Fox's TV show Glee. So there were auditions that were held, and 15 people now comprise this Glee club that all of listeners and admirers of the Smiley Morning radio show. So someone got in touch and had the bright idea, let's bring them and let them be a part of our festival and do so, you know, also keeping in mind that WZPL does have an audience.
Sure.
That would tap in.
Absolutely.
To the kind of thing we're trying to do.
And for people who are not content just to listen to and watch entertainment, I understand there's some karaoke going on?
There is. In addition to the main stage, we also have what we call an arts pavilion. And those will be some hands-on and participatory kinds of things, everything from the karaoke also to an instrument petting zoo, and some other hands-on art projects. Then a third stage is over on the market side, which is more of a folk stage with, again, local performers. And so it, you know, fills out a day with music and art that has a real local feel, mm-hmm. emphasizing the local quality of art and food that we want to encourage.
And family-friendly entertainment as well as specific activities for the kids, right?
That's exactly right. Very family-friendly. There are some other children's things going on. Of course, we'll have the kind of required face painting and bounce house. Also, one of the local fire departments is going to come and have emergency vehicles on display, unless they're called away, and we hope not on a hot day. Also, I'll tell you that another thing we're doing, and then I'll get to the big thing in a moment.
Yeah.
On the property of our church is what I think of as a pioneer cemetery. It might not technically be kind of a rediscovered cemetery, but it's certainly very old, dating from the early 19th century. A lot of the gravestones have been buried, and so we've had two scouts devote their Eagle projects to kind of resurrecting, if you will, this cemetery, identifying buried gravestones.
What a great
probing,
project.
Marking them, giving it a facelift, and that's
going to
be
cleaning the
featured.
Stones and restoring them.
Exactly right. Huh. Some of that, and it's all going to be featured that day. So they'll be there to describe it. There'll be some takeaway information about that process.
What a great living history project.
Well, it is, and it's right on our church property, and
no,
we feel like we have to be.
I'm sorry,
right,
I did not
exactly.
mean the pun.
Well, I'm doing plenty of that myself, Sharon. Now, let me tell you about two things going on that we're very excited about that emphasize the trail, the Penzi Trail, and also sustainable living kinds of things. The first is a run walk that Cumberland Christian Church is doing under the auspices of Ken Long and Associates, who do a lot of the run walk events mm-hmm. in our area. So this will be an early morning run walk along the Penzi Trail. There'll be an award ceremony following that under our big top at around 10. And then at 10:30, we'll have a sustainable bike ride co-sponsored by our church and Cumberland Arts and Earth Charter Indiana. And this is going to be, there'll be two opportunities, both on foot and on bike, to see Cumberland, enjoy the trail, and also make a statement about all that's good about being outside with families and getting exercise, paying attention to nature and also the well-being of our bodies. And
sure. I'm guessing you want people to pre-register for the run walk as well as for the bike ride?
Yeah, the easiest way to pre-register for the run walk, of course, is to get online at Ken Long and Associates. You can also access that, I think, from our website, cumberlandfbc.org. Mm-hmm. The bike ride itself is more of a show-up event. What we'll be doing is using Pedal and Park, which does a lot of these kinds of events. They'll provide bike racks. We're doing in conjunction with this a geocache, and we have a geocacher who's teaches in the Warren system at I think one of the grade schools, and she is working out in conjunction with our route. Several caches, some of which I think already exist along the Penzi Trail.
Now, for people who don't know what geocaching is,
well, it's like an outdoor sporting activity with kind of a treasure hunt game part to it. Think of it as something that grown-up kids would want to do.
oh, you just sold it
you
so
know,
well.
a treasure hunt, with grown-up toys maybe, yeah. And the toy is a global positioning system, GPS receiver, mobile device of some kind, and basically. Hiding and seeking containers called geocaches or caches, and there you can find these anywhere in the world. In fact, there are, over the last 10 years, I think 1.3 million of these have been registered.
Wow.
Around the world. It's really catching on in 100 countries all over the place here in Indiana. So these caches are going to lead to, around the route to a certain place, which I don't want to give away.
No, of course not.
But in the vicinity of there, Pedal and Park will have bike racks to check out the bikes with some security that we'll provide. And then you can park, bring your family, ride the ride, park your bike, see the festival, and then go collect your bike. Go back to, and they'll be parking at the Meyer parking lot, and that event also will start at the Sun, and you can read about it online at cumberlandfbc.org.
You are doing a great job wearing your hat as an impresario for this event.
Well, I appreciate
that. I have to ask, though, are you performing at it? Do you have time with all this organizing to also play
it
music?
It was
kind of
decided that maybe this year, the Irish Ears, my fiddle gig, wouldn't happen. We're still doing a lot of playing, and it's very enjoyable. What we've tried to do is involve local groups that showcase the talent that's around us that often gets overlooked. Being a summer festival, it's been really taken us a while, a couple of years, obviously, to get the Warren schools involved.
Sure.
But you know, with year-round programs, it becomes a little easier to get kids prepared to perform for a summer festival. And that maybe that's a good thing about some of the year-round options going on. So we're doing it that way this year. We will end up with hundreds of performers on our main stage and in our arts pavilion. It's all for the good.
Break a leg.
Yeah, that's what we'll tell them.
Sharon Gamble with Cumberland Arts Goes to Market organizer Thomas Watkins. The event is Saturday, August 20th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and its aim is to help revive an authentic spirit of community by celebrating the arts and sustainable living practices that enhance the quality of our common life and reestablish a shared sense of place in a too often packaged and impersonal world. Find out more at cumberlandfbc.org. Again, cumberlandfbc.org. Hey, Sharon.
Yes, Travis.
Have you rolled the dice with any Wookiees lately?
That's kind of a personal question. Oh, wait. You're asking because of Gen Con this weekend.
Of course.
And my blue hair and the whole Ramona Flowers getup was your clue that I might be somehow involved. Why, yes, as a matter of fact, I have. But,
well,
you know... It's not the only thing going on this
It is
weekend.
Not the only thing going on. In fact, we'll talk about all those other things going on that do not always require a costume or a multi-sided die on that calendar that we call What Do We Do?
I used to date somebody who said he didn't own any six-sided dice, and I'm like, check again, dear.
Oh, goodness.
If your children aren't old enough for Gen Con, but you'd like to work one last treat into their schedule, especially if they're in IPS and going back to school this week. Yipes, how did that happen so fast? You might want to check out the relatively new Children's Museum in Terre Haute, which includes lots of cool things to see and do, including a treehouse that's kind of like the treehouse of every kid's dreams, and it's pretty amazing. There's also the Follow Your Food Ag exhibit, 3D theater, and a toddler exploration area, and that's all at the Terre Haute Children's Museum. Little road trip.
Very cool. Something going on this weekend brought to you by the Indiana Steel Pan Association. They are having...
What?
Yes, Indiana Steel Pan.
Oh, like drums.
Like steel drums, okay. You got it. Mm-hmm. They are having some concerts and workshops going on this weekend, including at Garfield Park on Sunday. They have workshops at 1 and 5 p.m. and concerts at 7 and 9 p.m. And then on Monday, they're going to be on the lawn of the Indiana State House banging their steel drums at 1 p.m., which should be a lot of fun. So if you see that... In fact, they're also going to be at the City Market on Wednesday at 11 a.m. They are not part of Gen Con. They are actually Steel Pan Association drummers.
All roads don't lead to Gen Con. Right. I'm shocked to find gambling going on in this bar. Okay, so if you like great music of the not-so-distant past, you have a couple of amazing opportunities at Symphony on the Prairie. If you're hearing us on Friday night, it's a little too late to go, but you could still go Saturday night. If you're hearing us on Saturday afternoon, change clothes, wear something cool, because you're going to go out tonight, that's Saturday the 5th. You're going to hear the music of Billy Joel and Elton John featuring Michael Cavanaugh. If he sounds familiar, it's because he's the artist handpicked by Billy Joel to play the title role in the award-winning Broadway musical Movin' Out. So timeless hits by these two icons of pop music, Billy Joel and Elton John at Symphony on the Prairie. That's this Saturday night, the 5th. And next weekend, Classical Mystery Tour,
oh, that's
the music
gonna be fun.
Of the Beatles. That's right, the Broadway cast, members of Beatlemania, performing hits such as Eleanor Rigby, Penny Lane, Hard Day's Night, I Dare You Not to Sing Along. That's at Symphony on the Prairie next weekend.
You know, it's not really summer, so you get out to a Symphony on the Prairie concert, and if you haven't been out there yet, what are you waiting for?
That's right.
Hey, if you're listening on Friday night, there is still time to check out all the gallery openings for First Friday, and there are a ton this weekend. Now, if you miss it Friday night and you're listening to us on Saturday, most of these galleries do have hours throughout the rest of the month, but you absolutely want to make sure that you get over to the Harrison Center, because over there, they are actually having two shows. They're having their Bound show, which is sort of a book art show,
mm-hmm.
but they've also got the opening of their City Gallery, the Harrison Center, which is sort of a gateway visitor center for different neighborhoods throughout the city. Plus, if you go down to Fountain Square, there's tons of different openings at Big Car. There's also a new gallery called Space Camp Gallery, and they have a show that is opening that's going to be up through August 22nd called Peeled, with a Louisville-based artist, Letitia Queensberry, and her work is really cool, using Polaroids as part of it. And then there's also a show over at Wug LaCou's Gallery, and I do want to mention Wug Space is in Circle City Industrial Complex,
mm-hmm.
which is just off of 10th and Mass Avenue, and there's a lot of construction there, but the gallery is still open, and you can get to it, and Wug has hours on Friday nights as well as Wednesday evenings, and he's got a collection of new work that he has put together called Photos Unfolding at Wug LaCou's Gallery. So there's a lot of great galleries that are opening, and many, many more on Friday night, and then have shows throughout the whole month.
Hey, technically it's not the last summer First Friday, because fall doesn't start until
right.
the third week of September, but it's going to feel like the last summer First Friday.
That's
so
right.
If you are just sitting around listening to the radio on Friday night, put on your shoes and go down to First Friday. If you're also listening on Friday night, you still have time to get organized and go be a part tomorrow morning of the Lincoln Highway Adventure 2011. You're going to head out kind of early, though, because you're going to start in South Bend and go on stops in New Carlisle, LaPorte, Valparaiso, and Dyer. You're following the 1913 route, returning then to Plymouth via the 1928 route of the Lincoln Highway. You might have heard our interview a couple weeks ago about that. You can get more information at Lincoln Highway Adventure 11.eventbrite.com, and Bright is B-R-I-T-E. Lincoln Highway Adventure 11.eventbrite.com.
Very cool. Hey, this just in, photographer Dale Bernstein is putting on a wet plate collodion photography workshop at the Stutz Building.
Hmm.
It's a two-day workshop, and if you know what those words mean, then it's probably something that you want to do, and it should be very cool. It's taking place on August 19th and 20th. There is a fee for it. You do need to check it out, but you can get more information at the Stutz Building or just by contacting Dale Bernstein for information.
Well, you know, I'm kind of an old building freak. All right, I'll admit it. So I want to tell you about something you might want to go ahead and put on your calendar now. It's sponsored by Indiana Landmarks. It's not until September 13th. It's in Bedford, Indiana. Why would you drive from central Indiana to Bedford? Because you're going to a brick workshop. You can learn the basic tools and methods for restoring bricks and mortar, including mortar mixtures for different types of brick and techniques for repointing. And if you've ever tried to match brick, you'll appreciate why this workshop is so important. You can find out more at indianalandmarks.org and get yourself registered for that. It's on September 13th from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's free. It's in Bedford.
Very cool. Hey, if you have never seen any of the movies that have been created for the 48-hour film screenings, again, 48 hours are created in 48 hours, well, now is the time. If you're listening Friday night, then the screening is taking place over at the IMA at the Toby on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. If you're listening to us on Saturday, well, you can get there right now. Drive right over to the IMA and check out the screenings of all the films competing in the Indianapolis 48-hour film competition.
My last item, next Thursday, the 11th, Concerts on the Canal at the Indiana History Center. Brenda Williams with Cold Fusion, doing classic R&B hits from the 1960s and 70s. Concerts on the Canal at the Indiana History Center.
So much fun stuff going on.
Absolutely.
None of it that you even need dice for.
Or costumes, for that matter.
But if you are here in town for Gen Con, we hope you're enjoying yourself. And we will be back next week for that calendar we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Author Rita Kahn has written a new play titled Rich Lives, based on the oral histories of homemakers collected by Eleanor Arnold in the 1980s. The play will be performed at the Indiana State Fair from August 14th through the 17th to mark the 50th anniversary of Pioneer Village. Travis talked with Rita about her play.
Rita, always a pleasure to have you back in our studio. Great to see you.
It is always a delight to be in your presence.
Oh, thank you. You are always working, it seems, on such interesting projects that get turned into books or plays or other things. And the newest endeavor, it's a play, it's titled Rich Lives, and it's based on the oral history of homemakers. And there's a PBS documentary that we're showing here on WFYI that's tied into it, as well as the play is actually going to be performed at the State Fair as part of the 50th anniversary of the Pioneer Village. There's a lot going on with this. Where do we even start? It sounds like such a great project you've been working on.
Well, I guess where we start is with this whole idea of homemakers being such a viable force in our lives, that even though with the trajectory of the play, you begin to hear the stories of the turn of the 20th century, that is, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And from that time till now, the changes that have taken place as a result, perhaps, of the whole idea of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Changing our social structure, our economic structure, the way of life that we live. Yet there is a constancy. Whether you're talking about the 1800s, the 1700s, and way on back, that there is this notion that a homemaker is someone who cares and loves through the work that is being done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a housekeeper is someone who merely keeps the house.
Sure. Okay. I can see the difference.
But the whole idea of that love and the passion with which we spend our time, it is different perhaps in the things we do. I don't do things the way my mother did.
Sure, the tools are different.
The tools are very different. My mother, you know, didn't have a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
She had an ice box. She had a wood-burning stove. I push a button. She swept the carpet. I vacuum.
Right. But the intent is still the same.
But the intent is there, that I do what I do with the sense of devotion to make this place a place of grace for my family and my friends.
Tell me a bit about this play that you've written, Rich Lives, based on these oral histories. These are oral histories collected by Eleanor Arnold?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about that process.
Well, Eleanor Arnold comes from a traditional Hoosier family and still lives on what we call a homestead farm.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in the 1980s, undertook a series of collecting stories from over 200 women in 39 states.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And very deeply throughout Indiana.
Okay.
So that we have four books, three that are specific to Indiana and one that is nationwide.
Okay. But a lot of it's very specific to Indiana, and I'm guessing it's a mix of ages too.
I mean, yes.
So okay.
You'll have people who at the time in 1980 mm-hmm. were in their 80s or perhaps even 90s,
mm-hmm.
Ranging then to young homemakers.
Okay.
So that you have perhaps a range of 70 years.
Yeah.
Of memories. And what you get is this magnificent mix. But what we learn as well is that wherever you lived, you were influenced by the geography, by the landscape, and the stories that come through. We take it for granted that we'll either go out and get a Christmas tree that looks like the Christmas tree we expect.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you lived in the Southwest during the Dust Bowl?
Sure.
And that's one of the wonderful little surprises in the play. And I'm not going to be a spoiler for my own play.
Well,
and
no, I wouldn't want that.
So you have to come and find out how two young people with their mother created a Christmas tree from what was available in that landscape.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. Now, the play is it a episodic play? Is it a mix of many voices with a few actors? I mean, or...
We have five actors mm-hmm. and a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Music was so central to the lives of farm families, no matter where they lived. And that's something that I'd love to have us reconsider. How music, they said they began singing in the morning and sang all through the day.
Mm.
That music and dancing were part of their way of life on the farm.
How lovely. Mm-hmm.
And that richness comes through with the music that we have in
okay.
the play. That is traditional music. The actors take the voices, the words that were spoken by this multitude of women, and we have specific themes. We have the theme of memory, the theme of childhood,
mm-hmm.
the theme of going to school, the theme of courtship and marriage, and then raising the family, the theme of community service, of the role of the church in mm-hmm. the lives of farm families, and technology, friendship,
mm-hmm.
and then it opens with who we are.
Yeah.
We are mixtures. My family came from Austria-Hungary. My family came from Switzerland. My family came from France. My family is Chickasaw. And then we close with the humanity of who we are as American homemakers. People who live on the farm are a multitude. So
mm-hmm.
the way we did this is as a reader's theater, and we specifically have the actors hold their scripts in a three-ring binder so that the audience is reminded.
Yes.
These are words from people who were alive, are still alive.
And they are their actual words.
We mm-hmm. are representing this overview of people's memories and their emotions and their loves and their losses.
Now, this will be performed August 14th through the 17th at the State Fair. But the piece has actually been performed before, and that's when it was filmed as part of a live performance a year ago, I believe at the State Fair as well. And that is what the docudrama that WFYI has been working on is. Is that correct?
That is correct. We put it on last year at the Old Opry stage.
Mm-hmm.
WFYI wonderfully came out and filmed it. Pronounced it valuable for our viewers to enjoy. We had a wonderful airing here, and then we got invited to come on back.
Which is great.
You know, it's wonderful to do something that's never been done before. Last year was the first time that a live dramatic performance mm-hmm. As a play had ever been performed at the Indiana State Fair in all its history.
Hmm. Imagine
and,
that.
And yeah. Now we're back.
Well, and if people want to see it on WFYI, the next opportunity is actually on Saturday, August 6th at 5 p.m. So this very weekend, Saturday, August 6th at 5 p.m. And then also later into the evening, it will be aired overnight at 4 p.m. Rita, as you said, for those nursing moms or moms getting up in the middle of the night to deal with their babies can watch that. It's also going to be on, WFYI 3 on Sunday, the 7th, and that will be airing at 10 p.m. And then it will also be on the HD channel Sunday at 4 a.m. and also a week, Sunday the 21st at 3 a.m. as well. So some different times, but probably the best time to catch it is actually going to be this Saturday, the 6th, at 5 p.m. In fact, right after the Saturday airing of Art of the Matter, you can catch it on WFYI Channel 20.
Travis DiNicola with author Rita Kahn. Her new play titled Rich Lives will be performed at the Indiana State Fair from August 14th through the 17th to mark the 50th anniversary of Pioneer Village. There's also a documentary about the play, which will be aired on WFYI TV1 at 5 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 when I'll get a preview of the Dig In Food Festival.
I'll chat with author Chris Huntington about his new novel.
And I'll learn about the new Intimate Opera Company. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 for The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Summer at the Palladium, now through August. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.